Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Well, I'm delighted to say that taking time out of his busy schedule here at Le Mans 2022 to visit us here at Haggerty Radio Le Mans on 91.2 FM, the president of IMSA, John Doonan. Welcome back to France. Welcome back to Haggerty Radio Le Mans. How are you? You look well.
I'm feeling great, as always. It's really good to be back here at Le Mans. You know, when I first came, 2008, we had a LMP2 car in the field. You and I knew each other from over in the States and all the work you and your team have done there. And now this is my 14th time in a row to be here. And it gets better and better every time.
John, it's an exciting time for sports car racing. We're here at Le Mans. I do want to talk about Le Mans, but I've got to have you talk about IMSA and GTP. Earlier this week, BMW showing their car, the M Hybrid, which was pretty funky, and then Cadillac showing their concept GTP hybrid, which it looks like it comes out of Gran Turismo. Man, this is a good time for you and me, because it's a good time for sports car enthusiasts, and that's what we are.
Yeah, if you string together the last week, what has transpired, you know, Acura showed, obviously in camouflage, what their GTP car is going to look like. As you pointed out, BMW. And then yesterday, you know, Rory Harvey and the entire Cadillac and GM Racing family unveils a stunning GTP car. I'm giggling because that's how it makes everyone feel. And in the unveil, we were sitting in Corvette Racing's hospitality, and everyone is giggling because it looks the part. We know they're going to sound the part. Yeah. And then in the end, these cars are the ultimate expression of an automaker.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The concept of GTP, call it LMDH, call it DPI 2.0, because effectively, IMSA have done very little, if anything at all, from what was already going to be the next generation of DPI cars in terms of the regulations. It gives the manufacturers an opportunity to express their personality and their character. I know that was something that Scott Atherton and you, having now taken on that role, which seems like yesterday, but you're well into the job now, that was something that you were all very keen on. And the manufacturers have responded to that, John.
Yeah, we have a saying around the office, and it really comes from Mr. France, the market will speak. And, you know, we don't sit in Daytona and make decisions in a vacuum. We try to get a pulse on the industry, specifically those who are current partners, and then, of course, welcoming others. But you're right, DPI 2.0. And ironically, I was on the other side of the table.
Yes.
In those early meetings. It was well on its way. And, of course, the relationship with Pierre Fion, Terry Bouvet, the ACO board, the entire team, Frederic now with WEC, originally Gerard, it's solid. The relationship is solid. You know, I obviously inherited a good relationship, and I would characterize it as great now. And they saw and joined in on what DPI 2.0 was going to be. And at one point, I think it really hit me, 16 manufacturers were around the table. Mm-hmm. And look at the numbers now of those who have committed. It's remarkable.
And we can add Lamborghini to that now as well, because they've done their deal with Ligier, which means all four of the current LMP2 chassis suppliers will be represented in GTP LMDH come certainly 2024 by the time that Lamborghini comes in. And I was saying to somebody yesterday, now, we've seen some pretty interesting designs, as we've spoken about, but if we know anything about Lamborghini, what are they going to come up with, John?
I said, you read my mind. Yesterday, I said to someone, you think this is good, wait till you see what else is coming along here, because you know the styling cues of some of these brands that are committing on the road car side are incredible, and then they're going to take it to the next level on the prototype design cues and styling. So super excited about where we're headed for those who have committed, and then, of course, more yet to come.
easy to look at this now and say, well, of course it was a good idea, and of course the manufacturers were going to jump in. But at that reveal, that announcement at Daytona, which it was, you know, just a couple of years ago, just before the big full course yellow, as Eve always calls it, it seems even more prescient now than it was then.
No question. I said it a few times. What we're doing now is what the manufacturers have asked for, what the tire partners have asked for, you know, consistency. And ultimately what the fans have asked for, I think, maybe not so vocally, but deserve. Mm-hmm. And with the brands that have committed, with the teams they're aligned with, we're in for an incredible Rolex 24. And of course, fast forward a year from now, mm-hmm. here at Le Mans, and you're going to have in both places the best of the best.
Let's pick up a little bit of housekeeping with IMSA. We've got the Sirlands 6 Hours of the Glen coming up, another marquee race right off the back of Le Mans. A lot of people, including us, heading back there, and yourself. That'll be a big weekend. Looming on the horizon is Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. We've not been there for a couple of years. You and the rest of IMSA have been absolutely clear that you wanted to get back to that great circuit and to the Canadian fans as quick as possible. The opportunity has presented itself. It seems that not all the teams will decide to go. Why is it important that that race happens? And that, I mean, in some ways, John, is that a stake in the sand from IMSA to say, look, we have to do this now?
Well, first, at Watkins Glen, I think you probably ought to try to get a parking spot now, because we're going to have 50 cars in the 6 hour. We're going to have over 40 in Pilot Challenge, and you combined in Carrera Cup and Super Trofeo and MX5 Cup, there's going to be over 200 race cars at the Glen.
Yes, and I'm chained to the box for all of that. I won't be moving.
Okay, good. But when it comes to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, you're right. In fact, the last time I was there, I was wearing a different shirt, and I was standing in the winner's circle. But first of all, Miles Brandt, Ron Fellows, Carlo Fidani, they have hung in there when we couldn't race there for 3 years. The momentum going into this race is monumental. They're going to have a huge crowd, a lot of pent-up energy. You know how passionate the Canadian fans are for what we do, and especially what we do at Canadian Tire. So we're going. We have an agreement to go. They can hold a race. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the vaccine mandates have been a little bit of a challenge, but candidly, we're going to have a solid field in WeatherTech. We're going to have a solid field in Michelin Pilot, and we're going to put on an amazing show.
I don't want to bring politics into this at all, but IMSA has continued to race in the US over the last 2 years when, 40-45% of the people who are in that paddock have had to come from out of the US? I mean, is that a fair point to make to the people who say, why are we going?
There's no question. You know, when the world stopped, as you said, or we put out the full course yellow, we immediately started working with customs. You know, you, Eve, and the team, obviously, we wanted to get you guys back in the States as well. But you're right. Over 40% of our paddock comes from outside the U.S. They found a way to get in. We found a way to get them in, and we were able to keep the championship going in full schedule. So we ought to go to Canada and do the same.
And kudos to the Canadian team, some of which relocated, by the way, to make sure they could still compete in IMSA, moved south of the border to make sure that they could still make their obligations. The rest of the season comes pretty thick and fast after that. It's tradition that you and I have a sit down and chat about the next season at Road America. And I'm looking forward to that. Come on, John, it's just me and you. Give me a little hint. What are we going to see? The watchword over the last few years for IMSA and the schedule has been date equity. And building on that has been a real cornerstone. Yep. Any likely surprises that we're going to see?
There may be some. I like to surprise you. I like to surprise our audience. You're right. Date and venue equity is critically important. We're super proud of our NBC partnership, as you know. You all and your team do an incredible job of telling our story around the world. Obviously, in the States, we have NBC, we have USA Network. So a lot of the schedule dates are driven by television windows, whether it's a network show or a cable show. So that plays into the dates. Venues, you're right. We're going to do the Roar and the Race back-to-back in January again. We're going to go visit Sebring and bring the Super Sebring back with WEC and those types of things. But there are a few slight adjustments we're going to make. More to come on that. But we're super excited about what 23 is going to look like with the new content on track. And then besides my day job, I'm back in the race team business, as you might know.
Oh, right.
A year from now, we're going to be bringing a special entry here to Le Mans.
I've got so many questions about that schedule that I know I can't ask now. But thank you for sharing that, John. That's a good point. Let's fast forward a year. What is termed Garage 56 here at Le Mans, because for so long there were only 55 garages. One was laid out for an innovative car or something different. I've always said that Garage 56 isn't a place, it's a state of mind. And for Garage 56 in 2023, the 100th anniversary of the first running of Le Mans, we're going back in time, because we're going back to the 1970s and bringing a cup car to race at Le Mans.
Yeah. You see me giggling. This is the little boy on the other side of, other side of the fence. But this race, just like Rolex 24, just like Sebring, has been a place where automotive technology has made a breakthrough. Mm. We know that from the rearview mirror to hybrid systems, if you fast forward, to tire testing. And what is going to happen here next year, as you point out, is absolutely a little bit of a throwback. But it's also a little bit of back to the future. You know, Bill France Sr. in 1976 had the idea that NASCAR ought to be on a global stage. And he brought a few teams over to compete. Herschel McGriff, who is going in the Hall of Fame now, and a team led by Junie Dunleavy, came over and competed. Those two cars are actually here in Europe. We hope to have them here with us next year as we celebrate what's going to be incredible, an incredible opportunity to put the next-gen NASCAR Cup car through probably the most punishing test possible, 24 hours with the winningest team in NASCAR history, Hendrick Motorsport, the winningest manufacturer in NASCAR history, Chevrolet, and, of course, NASCAR's tire partner, Goodyear, who, of course, is now working so hard with the LMP2 program. All of those all-stars came together to make this a reality.
Next-gen NASCAR Cup car. Hybrid technology in that car? I mean, it kind of ties in with what the ACO and IMSA are doing. Another smile on the face of Mr. Turner.
Well, we're going to, much like the schedule that you and the listeners want to know about, we're going to come out with the car's final specs here. We've been doing some simulator testing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the line at the door, you and I have no chance to be behind the wheel. You know, driver like Alex Bowman, current driver, has been in the sim, validating the tire grip. A Le Mans regular, Mike Rockenfeller, has come and after validating the grip with Alex Bowman, has put the car through its paces here. And then, of course, Mr. Jeff Gordon himself. Key part of the Hendrick family. He's been behind the wheel. And Mr. Hendrick said a few weeks ago, he said, you know, John, I've got friends I didn't know I had. Everyone's calling me wanting to drive this thing.
Yeah. And I bet that's not even the start of it, to be honest. People will look at that, John, and say, okay, I understand. It isn't, obviously, it's a car that can't run in the categories that will be at Le Mans, so that's why it's outside of the competitive of categories. But why do this? And why, what is the raison d'etre, to use the French phrase, of bringing that car here when it would never compete here in the current class structure?
Well, it starts with a vision, and that's Jim France, replicating and honoring what happened in 1976 by his father's vision. And then it's a credit to Steve Phelps, Steve O'Donnell, John Probst, Brandon Thomas, who've taken the NASCAR Cup Series and brought what I would characterize as a modular car. And there's a great video that shows how this car comes together with, obviously, in a similar manner that a tub on a prototype. There's a safety cell around the driver, the front clip, the rear clip all come together. A manufacturer has their engine package. And then, much like GTP, they have an opportunity to express a road-going brother or sister. And, you know, Ford does it with the Mustang, Chevrolet does it with the Camaro, and Toyota does it with the Camry. And so this is an opportunity with this new car that actually runs and feels, based on driver feedback, like a GT car.
Yeah.
Chase Briscoe, you know, won his first race this season for Ford. And Mark Rushbrook and I were talking about it. And Chase says, this thing drives like an IMSA car. He's driven in the Michelin Pilot Challenge in a Mustang. So this is a really, really special opportunity to put the car in front of a passionate group of fans here, in front of the automakers that now see the opportunity that's in NASCAR. And you know, just yesterday I was reading some clips on social media, and some folks said, oh, you know, NASCAR's taking over. And, you know, but you know what? IMSA is part of the NASCAR family.
Yeah.
An incredible opportunity for us to leverage a lot of great resources, broadcast, which you, of course, voice for us in so many opportunities, the Technology Center up in Concord. And so there is so much collaboration. You know, NASCAR has their schedule, IMSA has their schedule, but in the end, there's a ton of collaboration.
I'm an endurance racing fan, but I'm a motorsport fan. If it's got wheels in, they keep score. That's me. Two wheels, four wheels, on road, off road. You know me, Joe. Petrol runs through my veins. And I look at particularly the longer NASCAR races. That's just a single driver endurance race. That, you know, that it is. And they get to make changes on the fly. And no better person than doing that in his eight cup wins with Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus, who was walking the track here earlier this week. I saw him myself, legend of the sport as a crew chief, and working to get that cut. Who was the king of the last 25, 30 miles in those long 500-mile races? Knaus and Jimmy Johnson. They were always there with the 48 car. So there's a lot of similarities there between that. And I think it's going to be a fan favorite straight away.
It is, and it's going to sound the part, I can tell you that. So anyone that wants to camp along the side of the road during the 24 next year, the ground's going to shake. The tent flaps will be in the breeze when the big NASCAR V8 goes by. But you mentioned Chad, and what an honor for me. I teased him yesterday. I said, honestly, I still can't believe I'm in conversations with, you know, you, Chad Knaus, who has written, you know, so many records with Jimmy. But he came here last year in a little bit of a reconnaissance mission in disguise, if you will. And then he said to me, you know, wow, you walk into these garages, and I'm not sure everyone in the States, certainly on the NASCAR side, realize what it takes to accomplish the 24 Hours of Le Mans. And so I think that's been great. This year, he's got his game face on, and he's brought other Hendrick colleagues along, and we've brought IMSA colleagues along to help navigate what is going to be a proper entry, you know, a proper hospitality, a proper pit experience for our guests and our partners. So it's going to be a blast. I'm excited because in my new role, I don't have a horse in the race, right?
Yeah.
And just like you, calling the races, you're calling what you see.
Yeah.
You don't have a favorite. You call it as you see it. Now I'm back in the race team business with some incredible partners, my colleagues at NASCAR, and everybody in the Hendrick family, Chevrolet, of course, and Goodyear.
You've got some pretty cool shirts to wear. You're president of IMSA at the moment. That's a very cool shirt to wear. Before that, you had Mazda Yost Racing at one stage, and now is it going to be NASCAR Hendrick Racing? Is it going to be Chevrolet NASCAR Hendrick? That's a cool shirt, Mr. D.
It's funny you said that, because of course, because of a lot of the meetings, I am in a suit coat here. But I was thinking about what I do next year is maybe underneath a team shirt, such that when the meetings end and I can go to the garage and be part of the team, I'll just sort of pull off the sport coat and be a team member. But Hendrick Motorsports, as the winningest team, was chosen to represent NASCAR. Of course, Mark Rushbrook from Ford, David Wilson from Toyota, they're engaged with this project to understand the versatility of the car, and there's a lot of road courses. In fact, NASCAR is at Sonoma this weekend. Everybody's aware of what's going on, but it's about the sport. You mentioned you're a racer. This is about what's right for the sport and putting it on a global stage.
A 10-year-old John Doonan would be very excited about this. Is this going to be a one-off then for this NASCAR? Might we see it, this cup car, might we see it in IMSA later on? And obviously, you want to make the splash here, so it's not going to pop out and do an IMSA race earlier in the season as a bit of a test. It'll come here for test day. There'll be some private testing. But later on, is there the opportunity for a non-competition run, maybe in one of the IMSA races as well? Because having the car here that ran at Le Mans in the Sailing 6 Hours of the Glen or Petit Le Mans, that would be pretty cool in the race rather than just driving some laps.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because we've talked about that. And frankly, what Garage 56 stands for, I think over time, and I had the opportunity previously to do some things with alternative fuels that were unique. And obviously, we did a road car diesel engine and things like that. So we've done a lot of that organically. But what Garage 56 stands for is absolutely that opportunity for innovation. We've done it organically on the IMSA side, and you never know. We've talked about it. So maybe like the schedule and maybe like the specs of the car, we'll have to come back around to that one sometime.
Right. Okay, that's fine. I've got a list now that I'm going to keep coming back to you with every time I speak to you. Let's finish off with talking about this phenomenal collaboration that's brought together the regulations, effectively, for the top class here at Le Mans, in IMSA, which means the biggest sports car racers in the world have a continuity and have this basic set of regulations that means you can run two different classes of cars within the same class, and the BOP will work things out. We haven't seen yet, because we haven't seen any of the GTPs racing, that working. However, we've got the opportunity for some phenomenal battles on both sides of the sports car coin here. What's the situation now with IMSA, with bringing in people like Peugeot, who we'll see here next year? They've clearly got, as part of the Stellantis group, they've got some American brands like Chrysler and Dodge, which it would be. I was talking to a fan yesterday who used to work for Chrysler, who says, I'd love to see the Pentastar back. It's not the Pentastar anymore, but you and I know that. Chrysler, Dodge, the opportunity for Toyota with Lexus, maybe, and all of the other brands that are coming in, and Ferrari. What is the situation there, and are there any talks ongoing for either one-off entries, and how would they be seen, John, by IMSA at the Blue Ribbon events, or even something more series-long based as far as these hypercars are concerned?
Yeah, convergence in general starts with the technical teams at both ACO and IMSA. So massive credit to Simon Hodgson and Matt Curdock from our team at IMSA, and Terry Bouvet here at the ACO. Without those technical minds and their leadership, we wouldn't have gotten to convergence. Pierre Fionn, Richard Mille, obviously representing the Endurance Commission at the FIA, and myself, we're the lucky ones that get to sit with you and do the interviews and talk about convergence. But in the trenches have been Matt, Simon, and Terry. They also, frankly, have brought us to a place with the OEMs, with the tire partners, with fuel partners, and of course on the LMDH technical regulation side, the hybrid powertrain partners, to bring all this together, such that we can put a stake in the ground and say we have convergence. Everybody's got to go to the wind tunnel. Everybody's got to go to the track and show demonstrated performance. But we would love to, with validation of those elements, welcome the Stellantis group, as you said, to the Rolex 24 or to the 12 Hours of Sebring. We would love to see the Gazoo Racing Toyotas come and compete with us. We would love to see, as you said, incredible fights. These auto manufacturers have used this platform of endurance sports car racing to tell their brand story. And as I said many times, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the fans have come. Your listeners from Radio Le Mans and Radio Show Limited have come to see the best drivers, the best teams in the best race cars. And that's what convergence is all about.
I'm going to ask you a question and feel free to say it. I'm not really going to comment about that at the moment. What about Glickenhaus? Glickenhaus is the American hypercar manufacturer, and they compete with honour with the American flag. Can they? Could they? Would they be welcomed into IMSA?
So at the moment, and for years prior to my arrival, our sporting regulations are based on a definition of an auto manufacturer being a 2,500 unit road car volume manufacturer. In the end, we also haven't written the regulations for 2023 as of yet for the sporting side. We haven't opened up the entry process, but based on current regulations, it's a 2,500 unit volume.
That's for anybody.
Exactly.
This is not a specific regulation for current LMH manufacturers, Glickenhaus, or anybody else.
No, sir. In fact, I think the FIA, when it comes to being a recognized GT3 manufacturer, there are some sporting regulations in there that mandate a road car volume. So more to come on that. I guess add that to your list relative to you know, the schedule and some of the other items we talked about. But, you know, we're here to see, hard to believe, the 99th actual running, right? We're going to have a centenary next year, and it's going to be incredible.
What are you looking forward to most this weekend? Sitting here talking to me is, you know, part of what you've got to do, but you are a race fan at heart. Will you get to see any of the race? And, I mean, obviously you get to do something that I never do because I'm here. You get to stand on the grid just beforehand, which I'm tremendously envious about. And 10-year-old John Doonan would be also good. What, really? I can stand on the grid at Le Mans? But what are you looking forward to most this weekend, John?
Well, I'm not sure about you and your team, but after night practice last night, I left after some meetings around 1:30, 2 o'clock this morning. So I did get the opportunity to go out on the circuit last night and stand on the fence like a little boy, which was awesome. We've had a great opportunity to see a lot of our manufacturer partners, a lot of our teams and drivers. You know, after Detroit and the Belle Isle event, as you know, there was a plane loads of drivers and team members that had to come over and execute. So if I don't have a horse in the race at the IMSA events, I certainly cheer for our drivers, which there's at least a dozen that are competing. That are
19 full-timers here,
yeah.
And probably about nearly three times that who've competed in IMSA.
100%. In fact, 69% of the drivers in the entry list have at least one IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship start. So that's incredible. I also love seeing our partners at Michelin and their massive, you can call it a little city, a village that they've set up to service all the teams. I love to see them compete here and cheer them on as well. Obviously, Clermont is the place where they produce the tires, and so it's a special moment. Get to see Scott Clark, a tremendous partner from Michelin, here every year, and hopefully he'll come join us in the States. But love seeing our teams and drivers compete. Obviously, Corvette Racing, Hyperpole last night, so super, super pleased for them.
Nick Tandy's first pole here, believe it or not. I couldn't believe that. I had to look that one up. John, I know how busy you are. It's been a pleasure as always. We'll see and sit down with you for a cup of tea or something at the Sale in 6 hours of the Glen, which will follow rather too quickly after Le Mans. And you can hear all of that, of course, in every session of the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and the support series at the weekend and all those IMSA developmental series over on our sister station, IMSA Radio. And we've got most of that in sound and vision as well. President of IMSA, John Doonan at Le Mans. A real pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, and all the best to your listeners, and thanks for tuning in around the world, whether it's the Le Mans 24 or all of the IMSA content that we're able to provide.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.